This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And I like guys.
And I like girls.
But we hope you love this podcast.
He loves the new and the novel.
The foreign and the fashionable.
He is an eager environmentalist.
A witty Wiccan.
And a try-hard vegetarian.
Now it's time for Adam Barillet's
Bloody Good Things to Know.
Today we're going to start off by talking about something that you may be doing right now, and that's eating breakfast. Cereals are a common breakfast staple that we've been eating probably since we were children, but how healthy are they? Felicity Lawrence joins us right now. Felicity, thank you for your time. Are breakfast cereals good for us?
Well, so many of the breakfast cereals are very processed and they're not whole grains. I mean, there has been... So you take these grains that are processed to remove much of the fibre and some of the outer germ of the grain, and that's where so many of the nutrients are. And the industry knows how valuable those nutrients are because they tend to sell them off as feed for animals, and they're highly nutritious. The pigs do very well out of it. There is nutrition in corn as a whole grain. There is nutrition in soy. Of course, it's a kind of high protein food. But we don't eat them in their whole form. We eat them when they're highly processed and broken down. And the processing itself removes so much of the nutrition. It adds value for the companies using it. My sort of law, Lawrence's law, if you like, of food is that the greater the added value to shareholders, the sort of inverse relationship with nutritional value, the greater value to shareholders, the more the nutritional value is stripped away.
In recent years, as people become more health conscious, has there been a change in breakfast cereals?
There has been a move recently as people have understood that there's so many problems with diet-related disease to use more whole grains in breakfast cereals. But even where you're eating a whole grain breakfast cereal that's processed, it's processed at very high temperatures. It's a powerful physical process that goes on with the grain there, and that breaks down the molecular structure. So it's not the same as eating a more gently processed whole grain and of the sort that you would get in wholemeal bread, say.
In your book, you cover the evolution of the breakfast cereal. Could you run us through a brief description of how breakfast cereals first came to be?
Breakfast cereals, I think, are fascinating because they represent such an extraordinary cultural colonisation, really. And until the late 19th century, early 20th century, I mean, most people around the world just ate whatever local grain there was, lightly processed by kind of domestic cooking, or they ate bread. And then you get this extraordinary movement in America in the late 19th century with the temperance movement, which worried enormously about the evils of meat eating and the evils of decadent diets. There was sort of problems with health emerging in America with as people became wealthier, eating a diet very dependent on meat, not getting enough fibre, not getting enough fruit and vegetables, and there was a tremendous amount of dyspepsia, as they called it. And the fashion now is to talk about digestive or gut health, but they were worrying about the same sorts of things, really. And there was this group of Seventh-day Adventists who set up in Battle Creek, and among them was John Harvey Kellogg. And they set about trying to sort of improve the diet, which they thought would sort of improve the morals of society. You know, society was suffering from a lack of both physical fibre in the diet and moral fibre. And they were very ingenious, and extraordinary effort went into working out how you could process various grains to make them more digestible, and they invented various kinds of machines, and several other people in America took on the challenge of working out how you could puff up meat. I mean, they did incredible things where they would sort of use recoiling breech cannons to explode grains scientists who worked to puff them up and make them more digestible, and occasionally they'd blow themselves up in these experiments. Once the Americans have developed this, they market it in the most ingenious ways as being good for your health. There are wonderful early adverts which suggest that the earliest form of grape nuts would cure loose teeth. I mean, you know, they're hard to imagine because they're so hard. Or make red blood redder was a claim I saw on one early breakfast cereal packet. And there's always been this very powerful relationship between our consumption of processed foods and advertising. Advertising is the thing that's created the demand, and they're sustained still very much by massive marketing budgets, without which we might all just go back and start eating porridge and plain old bread again, I suppose.
Felicity Lawrence is a special correspondent for the London-based newspaper The Guardian and author of the best-selling exposés of the food industry, Not On Our Label and Eat Your Heart Out.
Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And that was one of our podcasts, but I still like guys.
I still like girls.
Boys better though.
I don't know about that. Listen to another podcast and find out.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.